interesting conversation today with Green Beret Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Aguilar, geopolitical commentator, analyst, about the reality of Schrodinger's borders, the idea of other countries having to abide by rules, international law, and peace treaties and things like that, and Israel, who just kind of gets to decide to take territory whenever they want. And people in America are very relatively aware of Gaza now and the horror and atrocity and genocide that's happened there. But when you talk to them about Lebanon, because it's happening now, there is still that period as to where people don't want to accept it. So the first thing I want to ask you, Anthony, how do the Israelis view their border, meaning like how they're able to, you know, do kind of manifest destiny and do this greater Israel project? How do they get away with it? How do they see it?
Well, right now, in terms of reality on the ground, this is how Israel sees their border. You know, this is here's Israel. You know, you have Israel here. That's the border. That blue line is the border between Israel and Lebanon. And all of that light orange is where Israel currently occupies in Lebanon, where every citizen has been forced out, where Israel completely controls that entire swath from the Mediterranean all the way up along the east to the Litani River. And in doing so, these are the attacks just since what we've seen from the beginning of this latest conflict to what we've seen even as of late of yesterday. This is a map of those of attacks that are taking place throughout Lebanon. So this, you know, the Litani River is way down here, you know, and these attacks are going all the way up here. So when you see where these attacks are taking place, Israel continues to attack throughout.
And really quick, they say 20,000, other estimates say 50,000. We're talking about between 20 and 50,000 homes destroyed, right?
That's in Lebanon.
Right.
Let's remember that Israel is still lying waste every day through bombardment and destruction in Gaza.
Right. Talk
you know
about
what
it.
Israel started doing? What Israel started doing last week? They have begun to dig up the rubble and dump it into the sea because they don't want international investigatory bodies. Or Israel knows that one day, sooner or later, they're going to lose the plot.
So like a serial killer, they're trying to hide the crime, like Dexter.
They're hiding the crime scene.
Wow. So
because they know.
Yeah. Go ahead.
But accountability is coming, so they're trying to hide the crime.
Right. And the idea, I played somebody yesterday who was saying, oh, it's wonderful. We see nothing but the beach now, referring to the place where a city used to be. And that's quite a sick attitude. This man, I refuse to call him a gentleman, this individual, not even a man, an individual, he says that one of our lives, kind of like Ben-Gavir said, for every one of our mothers that weep, a thousand of your mothers will weep. This guy said, for every one of our lives, we are worth 10 million of you. No one around the world, in various groups, everybody's tribal, everyone has aspects of racism, whatever, it is what it is, people are people. But no other group has ever viewed the rest of the world in this way. This is a completely insane idea that's going to generate World War III. The idea that you have manifest destiny and you can conquer another people in the age of the internet where everyone can see the crime. It doesn't work. You can't do live stream genocide. What do you think?
Well, the question of should you be able to do live stream genocide and simply get away with it? The answer is no, you should not be able to. The sad reality right now, because you have world leading nations like the United States who continue to allow Israel to do this, is that as of right now, they are getting away with it.
You're totally right. They are totally getting away with it. We've got to stop and we got to expose the crimes right now. We got one more segment with Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Aguilar. Thank you so much. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bigley has launched an online pharmacy, 1776rx.health. It's one product we're launching with my decision, and that is ivermectin with benbenazole, both powerful really good anti-parasitics. It doesn't just get the big worms and all the crap that's out there. It's amoebas, it's microplasms. It is so important. These two together, I mean, ivermectin is a Nobel Prize winning for this, but minbenzidol is the big one. And folks, it isn't just parasites. Just search minbenzidol studies. Just put that into a search engine and you'll see congressional hearings. You'll see top scientists. You'll see all the studies on what else it does that they don't want you to know about. It's dramatic. So, and you won't know if you had any type of parasitical deal or whatever until you've done this. And a lot of people went there yesterday. A lot of people got it. Very smart move. 1776rx.health.
Welcome back to the War Room, getting into the geopolitical reality and covering Lebanon, Gaza, the genocide, ethnic cleansings going on there right now. We were talking on the break about something truly horrific. They're trying to, like a serial killer, erase the evidence of the genocide that was just committed and still being committed in Gaza right now in Palestine. Anthony, what is this bulldozer armada?
So the Israelis have always used the D9 bulldozer, which is manufactured by Caterpillar, which is a U.S.-based company in California, which is strongly supported by the U.S. government and providing these to Israel at premium low cost. And these bulldozers are now being used to literally shove the debris into the ocean, meaning the Mediterranean off of the coast of Gaza. And they're doing this to clear Gaza for the Operation Sunrise or Project Sunrise, the rebuilding of Gaza by Jared Kushner, but also to erase the evidence, because in all of that rubble, in all of that piles of concrete and rebar and dirt and debris, are thousands of Palestinian bodies, thousands. Thousands dead, not in tunnels, there's the deaths that we know of that have actually been accounted for, but there are thousands of children and women and mothers and fathers and families buried in that rubble.
And they deny it. This is the thing that's truly sick. And this is what I think about people that think that they're going to be in news and media and that you backed and supported this and denied that it was happening when it was happening. I mean, when I found out about this stuff, this is what got me politically active again, because I don't understand how you can't stand against it. And all the people that have said, oh, it's only a few thousand, it's only like 30,000. Like, you know how deranged you are when you say that, when people can see the aerial footage of cities like Rafah, where it's just like you have a magic eraser on a board and you just go, doot, and then it's gone. The city is gone. They turn it into Bikini Bottom. They turn it into the desert. And it wasn't the desert before. It was a city. And they want to lie to you, and they want to make you hate the people, and they want to make you think they always lived in tents. They didn't. Talk about this, Anthony. They live in tent cities now.
Yes, and the thing is, when I was in Gaza, the military operations in Rafah and Tal al-Sultan were at their height, to where the IDF were transitioning north of Rafah into Mawasi. So they had pretty much laid waste to all of Rafah and all of Tal al-Sultan. And at that point, they were simply bombing Rafah. They were bombing the rubble because there were still live, hanging on to life, nearly dead Palestinians buried in the rubble that they didn't want to be responsible for. So they were bombing the rubble. I saw this with my own eyes.
They're double tapping the rubble.
Triple tapping, quadruple tapping. They were using U.S. bombs, you know, at $200,000 a piece to bomb rubble, to kill the inhabitants within the rubble because they didn't die in the initial bombing. And Israel was then already moving on to the north. So Israel's tactics on the ground in Gaza is sweep through on the ground and isolate the town or the city. They're not going to go in on foot because they know that they're not going to be successful. So they isolate the city and then they start bombing it. And then once they start bombing it, they bomb a certain amount. Then they move in and hold and then start to bomb more And that's how they conduct tactics on the ground. They are not a capable, competent, courageous, moral, war-fighting army. They are the antithesis of all of that. They are cowards who are immoral, who use the most barbaric of tactics that have been outlawed by international law and every international consortium in international law and peacekeeping, and they violate all of it to bomb and destroy and kill.
I think this is key.
When they're done with that, they bomb it again.
Yes, I think this is key because you pointed out earlier, you said like we sound a lot like the Israelis now with our foreign policy and what we're doing, thinking you can win solely from the air campaign, thinking that you can bomb and win, you can get this victory over the population, you can make them capitulate. It sounds a lot like their foreign policy. You know, it sounds like how they fight wars because we learned from them, didn't we?
What's becoming more and more clear to me is that Israel, and I'm not saying this in terms of hyperbole, I'm saying this literally. Israel is now controlling and dictating American military strategy in this war with Iran. And here's why I'll say that. Every senior military leader we've heard from, who was it last week? The U.S. Air Force four-star general? General Grinkovich, Air Force.
Yeah.
U.S. Air Force General Grinkovich, the commander of EUCOM, European Command.
Oh, he has to decide. He has to decide between the U.S. and Israel, which to defend. Go ahead. Bingo. This is key.
That guy has said, hey, Mr. President, it's now no longer a question of deciding between protecting our assets and then are we going to help Ukraine or are we going to help Israel? The question has now become, because we are so depleted in our THAADs and our missiles and our SASMs and our ATACMs, we're now so depleted that the question is now, are we going to defend Israel or are we going to defend American service members and U.S. interests? Well, you have General Dan Kane, the Air Force four-star general, who is the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, who went to the president last week and said, this idea of bombing Iranian power plants and civil infrastructure is not a good idea, sir. Okay, well, if the European command commander, the central command commander, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs, and therefore every commander under them is telling President Trump that this is not a good idea, then who's telling him it's a good idea? And then you turn one page of that book of horrors, and you see who is now directly running the military industrial complex. Look up right now, you can Google it. I can't remember the guy's name, but just yesterday, the former director of Mossad, was put in charge of one of the largest U.S. defense production companies in the country.
Is that linked with the new NDAA? Is that linked with Section 219?
It's linked to the new NDAA. And it's my hypothesis. There he is right there.
Yeah, I'll read the headline.
Look up Ondas and how big they are as a defense contractor. And here's Tony's theory. Here's my theory. This is not fact. This is not based on any evidence that I've seen, but this is my theory. The National Defense Authorization Act, Section 1217, within the Senate passing. Remember, it's already passed the House. That's right. That's a done deal. That is a fait accompli. Section 217. Or excuse me, 219 has already passed. That's a done deal. In the Senate, the NDAA, Section 1217, they've already agreed on that. They already have over 60. The point of departure on the NDAA to finish up around the fringes to get it to pass the Senate isn't based on Section 1217 anymore. That's got the 60 votes it needs. It's going to pass. So when that passes on the 1st of October, the Secretary of Defense has until the 6th of October to appoint a chief executive over the U.S.-Israel Defense and Technology Cooperative branch or division, whatever that's going to be. The law requires it. Who do you think he's going to appoint? I think they're going to appoint that guy who they just put in charge of Ondas, which is one of the largest defense manufacturers in the country, certainly one of the largest.
That sounds like a bad plot, like a Marvel movie, like a villain that invents a super weapon or something like that. That's pretty crazy. It's Skynet-esque also as well.
Mark my words that in the coming days, as we approach October, that guy who is the former head of Mossad, who is now the chief executive of Ondas, an American company, will soon be the guy in the executive position over Section 1217.
Okay, this is a key prediction. I want to go from there. I want to look at Section 219, formerly, what was it? What was it before? Section 224?
224, formerly.
Yeah, so they real sneaky. They changed the name on us a little bit, but people are
that
aware.
That was on purpose.
People are aware of it. People are also aware, kind of morbidly, that we all know it's going to pass and that Trump is going to sign it. Do you think that we got him up there again? The owner of the team, if we're a basketball team, he's the owner of the team, the owner of Team America. He's the real president. That's what Uncle Sam is now. It's Uncle Netanyahu coming home to visit. All hail to the king. How much power is he going to be able to truly exert? Are we going to have those troops on the ground? Are we going to be making bombs for years into decades, and we're just not going to be able to shake this grip that they have on our military-industrial complex?
Well, here's the thing to consider: the reality of the military-industrial complex and its influence on decisions made by operational and tactical commanders. At the strategic level, the national strategic level, when the United, this is just, I'll break it down by service. I'll just focus on the Army for now. I won't focus on all of the Department of Defense because that would take a week. Let's just say the United States Army. Every year in the National Defense Authorization Act, the United States Army and each service comes to the chairman and says, hey, here's our strategy for the next 5, 10, 15 years. Army 2030, Army 2028, Army 2040, the strategy.
Right.
And to do that, we're going to need all this. Well, the chairman, the staff within the joint staff that represents all the services brings all those things together. They're called commander's visions, commander strategies, and puts all that together into the national mission strategy. That national mission strategy then dictates how the United States Department of Defense, how the United States military will fight now and future war. And they present that to the Congress to say, hey, Congress, when the Secretary of Defense presents the National Defense Authorization Act, here's all the things that go into it. So when you hear about the chief of staff of the Army, the chief of naval operations, the chief of the Air Force, the commandant of the Marine Corps, these four-star generals and admirals, when they go to brief Congress, when they go to testify to Congress, they're testifying on their strategy that goes into the overall national mission strategy. But here's the thing that you don't hear about often that is true, because I was a part of it. I did this in my last job as the capability manager for special operations within the U.S. Army. It was part of my job. When you put this whole vision together where you say, hey, the commander wants this type of missile, this type of mortar, this type of tank to fight this type of battle. Well, the military-industrial complex, whether it's Raytheon or Ondas or General Dynamics or whoever it is, they, by law, get to see that national mission strategy because they participate in the production of the weapons to make that strategy. I can say all I want. Hey, by next year, I want to be a ninja and be a sword master and throw Chinese right. throwing stars. Okay, well, you need a sword and you need Chinese throwing stars. Well, if the only person in the world that makes swords and Chinese throwing stars says, no, we don't want you to do that. We want you to fight this way. Well, all they have to do is say, we're not going to give you Chinese throwing stars and swords. Right. Well, then I have to completely shift my strategy on how I'm going to fight. And guess who's right there waiting with a strategy to dictate how we fight? The military-industrial complex. So when the commander presents his vision, the military-industrial complex comes back and says, you can't have that. You can't have that. That's going to cost this much. That's going to make 10 years to make. If you want that, it's going to have to be under this. And then so that strategy changes based on what the military-industrial complex
is. So the people that write the checks are in charge, not just from a perspective of like logistics and supply, but from a command operation perspective.
Absolutely. The military-industrial complex to either produce or make what the military customer wants then shapes the military strategy because we are held hostage by the military-industrial complex.
Right. Yeah, I'm just writing that down. That's a good point. Do you think it's truly ours? Do you think theirs will merge with ours? What does that necessarily mean? We know the Israeli economy is massively inflated by their own defense industry. And we talk about ourselves not being able to get these critical minerals. I guess they're real geopolitical wizards, though. So I'm sure they'll be able to find the rare earths. Is there a domestic industry not threatened by all the wars they do, or will they just become ours, take over ours? How will that work?
So the real, you know, you've heard it often said in a way to kind of surmise it in parlance, that this NDAA is the merging of the two militaries.
Right.
That is true. But what that won't look like is Private Smith sitting next to Private Netanyahu in an infantry squad in the 82nd Airborne. What this means is the merger of our militaries at the institutional level of the military-industrial complex, meaning what's ours is theirs, what's theirs is ours. Well, we already give them quite a bit. So the only one that's winning from this is Israel.
Right. So that's what the NDAA truly means. It's that merger as to where the financial interests of their own military industrial complex gain a command and control function over our actual.
It says it. I mean, it says it verbatim. That is verbatim the verbiage of Section 219 and Section 1217, which are provisions within the NDAA. That once the NDAA is approved becomes law, that is the verbiage of those two provisions that closely mirror both the House and the Senate versions. And then it's the merger, the synchronization, so when you think about the cooperation, the merger, the synchronization, the blending of the two, that's exactly what it is. It's not a conspiracy theory to say that that's what's happening. It's exactly what the verbiage of those provisions that are soon going to become one into the NDAA soon will be. It's a reality. It is the truth of the matter. And in that, what that turns into, the true danger in that is that let's say I have a close friend and she and I, you know, we're not dating, but we're kind of on and off. And, you know, if we go out, we pay Dutch, she pays for her, I pay for mine. But then it gets a little more serious and then we're dating, you know, it's getting a little more, and then we get married, but we still have separate accounts. And then at some point we join our accounts. Well, no more is there the, you know, hey, can I buy this? Well, one of the other can ask the other, hey, can I buy this out of a courtesy? But at that point, if you're pissed off at one of the other, you don't have to ask to go ring up that credit card or spend money out of that joint account. And now imagine one in those relationship, I'm not going to say who, because I want to be equal here. One of the two in the relationship isn't working and relies completely on the other for everything and then says, I want this. And the breadwinner says, no, you can't have
it. And it's
that.
Like trying
and
to so burn the house
says,
down.
Well, I'm pissed at you, so I'm going to go spend it all.
Yeah.
That's what we're giving Israel.
Wow. Yeah, I totally agree. I think that's a good analogy. I here's the thing. I like what the Zionists say, like from their own words, from Adam Sosnick. I'll just quote here. I think of America as my mom and Israel as my grandma. So, of course, I'll choose my mom over my grandma in a life or death situation. That's what he says, right? But then it would just go to reason that, Adam, if you have a loaf of bread and both your mom and your grandma are hungry, then you're going to share that loaf of bread. And whoever you care about or think is more hungry, you're going to give that food to. So, like, it's just, it shouldn't be an American issue. We shouldn't be over there. That's the reality of all this stuff. It's not even a radical solution. It's just we got to get out. How do you see, just like a white pill perspective, what could somebody do, a prospective future American leader, to get us out of the Middle East? We got 5 minutes.
For a future American leader to get us out of the Middle East?
Yeah. Is it possible?
Well, I think that any future American leader that wants to be a representative of politics and represent this country should soon start to realize that relations with Israel as they currently are not beneficial to the United States, and that we should treat that relationship with the same amount of skepticism and hostility that we have other relationships in the past, and that we should start to look into the future of things like normalization of relations with countries like China, Russia, Iran, India, Pakistan are in our interests globally and worldwide, and that if nations like Israel, and I'm not saying Israel would be the only one now or in the future, but if nations that act like Israel that want to say that any of those relationships are bad and that we should put all of our eggs into their basket, we should see that as a threat.
And well, hold on. They have relationships with all those countries. They have very good relationships with all those countries. And then we're fighting those countries through them while they grift off those countries. It truly is impressive. It really is. Right. It's a crazy Ponzi scheme. It's wild.
It is incredible. It is an incredible Ponzi scheme that goes back to the inception of Israel I think right now in this administration, what I could say, if there's anything to look back on in a silver lining of this administration, it is that it has truly been exposed for what it is. Now, as an American society, as an American government, if our Congress isn't going to see it for what it is and realize the truth, well, that's a whole other problem that we have to deal with here at home. But to say that we now don't see the truth and the reality for what it is, we do. I don't think there's one American that can't look at the truth and say, yep, it's that. Now, how that American decides to act on it, we see many different ways. We see, oh, well, it's true, but here's this list of reasons as to why that's okay. Or it's true, but here's all of these things that it could be worse if not.
Yes.
And the truth of the matter is that looking at it for what it is, and if anyone thinks that where we currently stand in our foreign policy or our military foreign policy, that we're putting America or Americans first right now, you're simply lying to yourself. We need politicians and a government that's willing to put America and Americans first. And I say that not America only, but America first, just like any sovereign nation would. What sovereign nation wouldn't put itself and its own people first? A nation that is completely owned by another nation, in our case, Israel.
Yeah, and the war itself is illegal. So, like, people can disagree on policy, but you can't disagree on the facts of international law when it comes to this. And here's the thing. They didn't kill their own elementary schoolers. If you believe that,
that's right.
If you justify that somehow, if you make excuses for it, whether that's on accident or on purpose, it's unjustifiable. And anybody out there in the audience that says, oh, no, well, maybe Iran did it. My president said he's not sure. There's an investigation. That's like him shooting somebody in front of Fifth Avenue. That classic example that he gives, and he says he could get away with it. That's what bombing that school is. And then the subsequent war that's resulted from it, the World War. And like it's insane. Go ahead. We got like a minute left.
What do the war hawks come back and they say? Well, they say, oh, well, the reason we have to continue this war, regardless of how it started, regardless, okay, maybe they didn't have nukes, you know, maybe this, maybe, you know, the Lindsey Grahams, you know, the late Lindsey Grahams and others that would say, well, we're fighting them now because look, they're attacking us. Well, I ask the question, both in Iraq and in Kuwait, between those two countries alone, just those two, and there's many more, between the six active manned operational missile launching bases in Iraq, six, and the actively manned logistics and missile launching bases in Kuwait, eight, just those two alone. Imagine, if you will, if while we're in this war with Iran, if Iran had bases in Canada and Mexico that were actively targeting and firing missiles at us.
You're totally right. We would never accept it. And that is the key. It's a modern Cuban Missile Crisis. We're on the other side of it. Thank you so much, Lieutenant Colonel Green Beret, Anthony Aguilar. We'll be right back after these messages.
Thank you, sir. Have a good day.
You too.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. It's globalist siege. It's globalist economic warfare. It's a globalist blockade, an embargo, sanctions against American populist patriots. For everyone that's been watching and listening to me for years, you've seen the attacks. You've seen the deplatforming. You've seen the court battles, the news articles, the demonization, the bogus default judgments. We even have FBI and CIA operatives on hidden camera talking about how their entire goal was to take me out at the knees by knocking out my ability to accept payments. And that model they used on me, they admit, is for all of you.
Alex Jones.
Yeah, so we were after him.
So with Alex Jones, and the goal with him was what, just to bankrupt him?
Pretty much.
Well, because of First United Payments and your support, they failed. And they failed because I had a processor with a backbone who loves America and believes in the free market. One who stands up for American justice and who didn't back down when they received threatening messages and pressure from other major institutions. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you. Meta, Facebook is watching you. Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Consolidation, vertical integration, that is the goal of the BlackRock globalist system. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. This is the key to their entire panopticonic takeover plan, in their own words. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink, was very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. Visit First United Payments now at FirstUnitedPayments.com. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. That's 877-899-1313. The tyrants are counting on us not to innovate. They're counting on us not to migrate to institutions and organizations that are pro-human just like us. This isn't some new company. I've been using them for almost a decade. They're already taking care of most of the patriots. Whether you're a florist, have a gas station, or you're a farmer, or you've got a little five and dime shop or a factory, whatever it is, online merchants, this is the place for you. These guys are patriots and they're in our corner. They're Americans just like us and they hate the New World Order with a passion. They believe in the free market and they understand this is 1776 2.0. 90% of it is information warfare and financial. And this is just as important as the right to self-defense and guns. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Thank you so much. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Hope everyone's having a phenomenal afternoon, even out there. In America, across the world, wherever you're catching the broadcast, this is the Alex Jones Network at AJN Live. Please share live links, the feed. Of course, we always have phenomenal clips that come out during and after all of the shows. Your friends, your family, they need to know what you know. And the easiest way to do that is just share the network, share the information. We also have the phenomenal products at thealexjonesstore.com. Should you choose to accept your mission of supporting this broadcast, this operation, you can accept it right there at thealexjonesstore.com. So many of you guys have reached out and have said the Power Plant and Methyl Drive products are amazing. I just want to do a brief rundown on what that is. I've created two products to be taken, you know, just really for mitochondrial health, really for exercise, really for, you know, achieving a new level of supplementation. I got Power Plant and Methyl Drive with the CoQ10, the PQQ, the Redolia Roja, Golden Root, Cordyceps, Zinc, Magnesium, Boron, and so much more. I've got it available for you right there in the Power Drive bundle. Power Plant is kind of my evolved take on Super Male Vitality. So if you look at the two formulas, let's just go to the Power Plant page for a second. I want to break this down for the audience. If you go to the formulas and you look at the old Super Male ingredient product, it was a bunch of very powerful herbs, but most of them were luteinizing hormone mimetics, right? So like things like, I believe, like Tribulus terrestris, Fidogia, Erosia, stuff like that. I'm not particularly a fan of things like that because although they are very strong, it's not exactly super sustainable. With anything that goes super high, you know, from another input, it's to negative feedback loop as well, potentially in the future. So what we have here in the power plant is really a formula designed to attenuate the modern problem, which is the real reason why your testosterone is so low, the real reason why you're tired, the real reason why you don't have energy to exercise or work right, is because you don't have the high quality zinc in the right form, you don't have the high quality selenium in the right form, and you don't have the right quality boron in the right form. That boron citrate right there, there are studies that showed over 30% increase in free testosterone from taking boron. We've got that available as well as the zinc. If you have one of these very common deficiencies in the West, which is the whole reason why you supplement, these are dietary supplements, you're supplementing your diet, you can take the zinc and boron and selenium found in this product and attenuate that deficiency efficiently with the proper correct form of each vital nutrient. We've also got the adaptogens in there, which is Rhodiola rosea, which lowers cortisol. And you can look at ashwagandha, does that through a similar mechanism, but it's not ashwagandha. I had a caller call in earlier about that and said, oh, I don't take the power plant because it has ashwagandha. Well, of course, talk to your doctor. All these things are very real. They have mechanisms of action. It's very important, especially if you take other medication or just medication in general, because these are dietary supplements, not meds. Check with your doctor. But this is a phenomenal ingredient. Do your research on it. It's called golden root, also called Arctic root. The Vikings used it. It has a very long history. This is also something the Russians studied, by the way. This is something the Russians studied. That this is where the term adaptogen comes from, is in large part from Rhodiola rosea. All of that and more found in the power plant formula. Methyl Drive has the CoQ10, the PQQ. And really, when you have methylene blue combined, all three of those are just incredible products. The synergy there is unbelievable. You can try it once. You can sign up for it. I'd really, really suggest if you're older, checking out the Methyl Drive. And if you're younger and you really want that exercise enhancement, in my opinion, that's kind of what I made it for. Anecdotally, you can get the power plant. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We got the water filtration. We got the shower head. If you're not filtering your water, you're pretty insane. You're pretty crazy. Look, I got filtered water right here. I'm going to use that as an excuse to take a sip and put a little water in my mouth. We have the best t-shirts, the best apparel, best hats, best everything at TheAlexJonesStore.com. Now, I want to go into this, and I was going to play it with Anthony, but we'll play it here. It's just when you watch Fox News, it's like you're stepping into an alternate reality nearly every single time. So I want to play clip number 21, and then we're going to kind of pick it apart. Let's go into that.
Operation that was leaked over the weekend. It's obviously, they need to figure out who's leaking from the White House. That has to be someone high within government that put that out there to sources. It's our job as the press to cover that. But I'm curious from your perspective and your sources on the state of play that leak played out in the Middle East, and who then phoned the White House to get to the negotiating table.
It's a great question, because these leaks can be substantial. And when you're looking at a situation with 50,000 U.S. service members, destroyers, refuelers, fighter jets across the region, the operational security is very significant whenever there are plans being made to strike Iran. And the president indicated he called off the planned strikes at the request not only of Iran, but also of Gulf allies like Saudi Arabia, Qatar, and the UAE.
We talked about that.
What was interesting, though, Lawrence, we spoke with senior Israeli intelligence officials over the weekend who said they weren't even aware of the details of the plan. And that's how close the administration was holding these details to the chest, because of how sensitive it is in the region. And so moving forward, we do anticipate the Trump administration will do
everything. Everyone thought that Trump was going to attack. And I saw Brandon Weichert, who I plan to have on tomorrow as well, talk about this. Everyone thought Trump was going to attack. Well, what happened? Trump tacoed. Trump chickened out. And we can say that's a great thing. I hope he does it even further. But what else did the newscaster just say? Hey, Mr. Newsman, Mr. Correspondent, Mr. Journalist, sir, I'm a fan of you. I wanted to be like you when I was a little boy. Well, what's your opinion on the 50,000 troops? You know, the ones you just mentioned. You said, oh, they're there in the region. Do you think America can protect them? Why are you running Hasbro for a country that can't protect them? Well, of course, running Hasbro for Israel. So go back to the clip. Ooh, you can get the ivermectin and mebendazole from 1776 Rx.health. Here, cut back to me. The idea that you go on Fox News and you have to act like, oh, we don't know what's going on. Trump is doing it again, guys. He's got it all figured out. How many times can he declare victory? How many times can they have a deal? It's just like Anthony says. He doesn't believe. Like, I ask with hope. I'm like, Anthony, please, Anthony Aguilar, please tell me, please let me know, like, is there any route of, like, de-escalation from this? Is there any way out of this? He's like, no, it's already expanded. It's already here. And then I have debates with people. I argue with people. I talk to people on stream. And I don't know. It's like you can see and then they're blind or something. And then they want to tell you, like, about the painting or whatever. Here's the thing. But they're willfully blind. That's the thing, is like you just have to take your hand away from your face and then you'll see the clear geopolitical reality. Can we go back to the Fox News clip?
Well, obviously, Trey, you know, we are seeing the White House trying to keep their cards close to the vest. But there is also a tremendous buildup. We've watched a tremendous buildup over the last couple of months. You know, some of that is Trump trying to put pressure on Iran.
Trump's constipation.
When you compare the buildup that we've seen over the last couple of weeks to the buildup that we had when all of this began 6 months ago, can you compare the posture?
It's slightly larger, and the president indicated the strikes that were planned are actually larger as well. He described them as the largest since World War II. But when we look at the equation
right now, it's slightly larger. It's slightly more big. It's bigger than World War II.
Of economic deterrence. And that's exactly what we have seen from the Trump administration.
We've been sanctioning these people forever. It doesn't work.
The resumption of the U.S. naval blockade. This blockade of Iranian ports is costing the Iranian regime hundreds of millions of dollars each and every day.
It's costing us billions of dollars, trillions of dollars in our interest. The rate on the 5-year bond
maintains its presence in the region. Oh, they have very few options in terms of an off ramp here. They are either looking at a return to combat operations or some sort of agreement, a negotiated settlement that would alleviate that economic pressure and avoid strikes against the regime.
Okay, Trey, thank you so much. He said part one is to open up the strait, which could happen today. And then he said part two is focus on their nuclear weapons and capabilities. All right, let's hand it over to Ashley. She has some headlines for us. Hey, Ashley.
Morning. Hey, guys. Good morning to you. We're going to start with this. It's that stomach.
All right. So you get the picture. You get the idea. I don't like the idea of like wargaming and fantasizing about things that we already know to be true. And I'll read the Gunther Eagleman propaganda headline. Go ahead and get that back up. He's one of the notorious propagandists on X. Someone high up in the government just leaked a planned strike on Iran. Major military operation was in the works. Notice what he says. He's talking about negotiated settlement, planned settlement. He's also talking about the blockade, which is a violation of the MOU. And since our position since the war started has only gotten weaker, then they're not going to rescind that from the MOU. They're not going to say, oh, no, America, you can blockade us and it's going to be fine. The blockade is unacceptable. The ships are far enough away from Iran's missile range to not be directly under threat of the anti-ship missile. The second that changes, and that really will be ultimately the death of the American empire, the second one of those cruisers goes down, the second one of those aircraft carriers go down, you can say we already had to take evasive action against the Houthis in 2025 in the Red Sea. We lost, I think it was an F-16. It's now at the bottom of the ocean there, if I believe. But that same thing will happen again, only 10 times worse, and they just say it so flippantly, they don't even care. They're just reporting the broadcasting, reporting the news. When I think of 50,000 American troops deployed over there, it makes me so angry. Like, I want to curse in here, but I can't say the F word. Like, screw these people. Like, screw these people to hell, the people that want to take Americans, our friends. I have plenty of friends that are in the service right now. My co-host Tim Tompkins does as well. The idea that you're going to take our friends, you're going to go sacrifice them like scraps off your plate, you know, to make sure Iran doesn't have a nuclear weapon. That's what Trump said about the people that just died. It's so sick. He said that they didn't die in a war, but that their dying wish was that Iran would not have a nuclear weapon. Well, sounds like you didn't give them what they wanted, Trump, because you need to say it's not a war in order to excuse their deaths. You need to be holding blood feast, 118 years old. Look at that right there. But you also want to, it's not a war, but they died for my war. You can't do that. Look at that. I'm holding blood feast, 118 years old, please, God, just let us nuke Iran, nothing else matters, I'll do anything, please, I just want to see blood before the last time I die. That's respectable bipartisan. That's like Mark Levin. Yeah, Mark Levin, establishment conservative commentator, generated these coffins, manufactured consent from the president, manipulated the president to kill Americans in the Middle East, because no amount of blood, no amount of treasure will ever be enough for people that do not consider themselves our countrymen. That is the reality, because they want it all, because ultimately they're not taking from anything. They're just giving to themselves. We feel like we've had something taken because we care about our country. And not only we don't care about our country, not only do we care about our country, we care about people around the world. And we don't justify mass murder with our weapons. We don't justify dropping bombs on people's heads just because, ha ha ha, they're towelhead muzzies or whatever. But that doesn't work. That, because one day somebody is going to treat you like that. And then when you pray to God and you ask him to save you, you ask him to have mercy, you say, please, 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 they're attacking me. They're attacking me. They're attacking me. When did you have mercy for them? When did you show them respect? When did you show them any kind of care at all? When did you acknowledge they were also made by God? You know, did you just think they were animals? You know, you can just spray like boiling hot water on them and kill them whenever you want. You know, you can just light their villages on fire. You can destroy 50,000 of their homes because they're dogs, right? So how are you going to explain that to God? Like, if you do have that opinion, you can apologize for it. You can atone for that. You can do plenty of things, right? But if you're like Lindsey Graham and you're 71 years old and the last thing you do on this earth is go to the Ukrainian drone factory and you hold up a giant black Looney Tunes bomb, grinning ear to ear with crud on your teeth. There he is right there. And then you die, passionately trying to kill already 1.5 million dead in the Ukraine-Russia war conservatively, trying to kill more millions of men. I don't think that goes well for you, man. And God is merciful and his mercy endures forever. But going out like that, actively trying to just kill mass numbers of people, like, it's just not going to end well for you, bro. It's actually really sad. It's actually really sad. Because, like, how do you get to that point? This is what I always ask myself about people in power that have the ability. And this is what I really ask myself about the Trump administration. People in power that have the ability to truly change the system. All it would take is Trump pulls out his cell phone and says, hey, they're making me commit genocide. And he tweets that out, he's free. But he'll never do that because he likes being a slave. He enjoys the Stockholm Syndrome. And that's the real reality of where we are. And she's obsessed with it as well. There seems to be this fascination with bombs. And they like to visit these drone factories. They like to visit these weapons factories. They don't like to go on the battlefield, though. They don't like to go pick up a gun or go pick up a grenade or go pick up a whatever and go put boots on the ground, their boots on the ground. They don't want that for their friends, their family. They're more than happy to go check out, you know, it's like shopping on Amazon versus like shopping in real life. Oh, this is nice. I get to buy this bomb to murder this person. I get to buy this drone to fly into this residential building. This is fun. We're having fun here. It must be very cool for them to experience that, because like this is the reality of their murder. And now they get to see it and hold it in their hands. They have this fascination with the weapon, the fascination with the bomb, because it's all they got. They don't have power. They don't have truth. They don't have love. They don't have anything. All they have is more murder. And they think that they can beat you down and give you the same Stockholm Syndrome to accept it. And I don't think Americans are there anymore. I don't think we're there collectively. I don't think we're there on an individual level. I think that people around the country are realizing they didn't vote for this. They don't care for it and they won't be held responsible for it. And ultimately you're not responsible for it as an average American citizen, especially not if you voted for values that were antithetical to this, which is what Trump represented in 2024. The idea of that creature, that Lindsey Graham creature, who as recently as, you know, a year or two ago was reviled and hated. They manufactured consent and they rebuilt the neocons. They made him and Ted Cruz popular within a certain wing of the younger Republicans. It's completely sick. The idea that the guy that tore down Trump, that attacked Trump, that hated Trump, that wanted to end Trump, the idea that Trump would cry more at his funeral than he cried at Charlie Kirk's, than he cared more at Charlie Kirk's, it's pretty extreme. Like, I know that ain't what I voted for. And when you see the reaction he has to Lindsey dying compared to the reaction with Kirk, you know, he can't relate to Kirk. He can relate a lot to Lindsey, though. I bet they had a lot of intimate conversations. Lord have mercy. That's a shudder to think about that. Go ahead and play clip number 22, Scott Bessent, the gay dude who beat up Elon Musk. I don't know. Maybe Elon beat him up. Play clip number 22.
And you know, we've seen President Trump last week threatened what would have been one of the largest military campaigns, or the largest military campaign since World War II, against the Iranians. And now we are, because of that, we are in talks with the Iranians. And I think there is a chance we may have a deal today or tomorrow to open the strait and move towards a more normalized position in this conflict. And that's because their Air Force is wiped out, their Navy is wiped out, substantial portion of their missiles are wiped out. More importantly, their missile production capability is wiped out. So, anything that happens in the Gulf will benefit Japan and indeed the rest of the world, Joe.
Complete, total lies. Keep in mind, the Strait was open before the war. We're the ones that closed the Strait, not Iran, by blowing up the Ayatollah and blowing up the little girl's school. That's the reality. They control the Strait now. That wasn't the reality before the war. We initiated all of that, right? And we're not happy about how it went. We're trying to change how it went, but we don't have the military ability to manifest that reality. And I just covered that for a straight hour with Anthony Aguilar. We don't have the military, really, we don't have the control over our military from an operational perspective to be successful. Now what does this mean? This is key, and we went over this with Anthony. Simply put, the financial interests dictate the reality on the battlefield. They are the ones that are in a command and control position over the armed forces, not even necessarily the generals or the president or whatever. It is the companies that make the missiles, make the bombs, make the tanks, make the logistics, make the whatever, and they get the final say. And that's why putting Israel in ascendancy over all parts of DOW, and then merging the military industrial complex that they have with the military industrial complex we have, that's why it's so dangerous. We're doing gain of function research on it. It's not good. And we need the capability because we got to fight China and Russia at the same time. I don't want to fight Russia and China at the same time. Does that sound like fun to you? That sounds like the world that these people created. And ultimately, they made a much weaker America have to enter these conflicts and enter these wars. And it's just like setting someone up to failure and giving them a minus 1,000 handicap and then expecting them to be successful. And that's why I get so mad on the generational front. Look at this. Look at this is Renaissance art. This is Dark Ages art. This is Gilded Age art 2026. Oh, yes, Mr. President, you're doing so good. I need you to rip up the MOU, though. You got to restore the blockade. You got to start killing Muslims again. You got to initiate World War III, Mr. President, because we have to be successful against Hamas and Hezbollah. It doesn't matter how many American soldiers die. Oh, yes. Well, Mr. President, if we can do Iwo Jima, we can do this. All those young American bodies, all those young American boys dead in the Persian Gulf, we're going to get what we want. That's absolutely right, Mr. President. Just drink from this chalice, drink from this goblet. You'll be made a chaos demigod. We're doing a ritual here. Netanyahu is also involved as well. They say he's dying of prostate cancer. It's also a part of the ritual. You might not understand. Donald, you're a red heifer. We're going to do a ritual here, okay? And you can laugh. We're obviously having fun, that satire. We're making light of the situation, but they are collectively, pull up Grima Wormtongue in The Lord of the Rings. They are Grima Wormtongue maxing. They are Salacious Crumb maxing, a la Jabba the Hutt. They are the thing, the little thing that is around Trump that has that influence, that plays that repetition. And what do all the experts say about Trump? It's the last thing he heard. It's the last 5 minutes. Robert Barnes thinks that's frontal lobe dementia. I tend to agree. And you can say, I think Trump is evil. I think what Trump has done is evil as well. I think he is evil as well. That's why I'll never support him. Right. But, I think these people are a huge factor. I think they're also manipulating grandpa a la Joe Biden. And I think if you discount that and you say that we're stupid for saying that, people were telling me that I was stupid for saying that in spaces a year ago. Look at what's happened now. And there you got Mark Levin right there. Yes, Mr. President, here's the thing, Mr. President. A bunch of American soldiers just died. That's why you got to send more in. That's why you got to send more in to die. No, get out of the throne room. You're not supposed to be here. Joe Kent, Tulsi Gabbard, get out of here. You're not wanted here anymore. We're not a fan of you. We're a fan of killing Hamas and Hezbollah, aren't we, Mr. President? You're absolutely right. Anything for Israel. I'd be prime minister of Israel. I love inflation. Oh, yeah, I love it when the housing prices go up. Oh, you do love it when the housing prices go up. It's good for the boomers, and the boomers support war and murder. Ah! All right. That's enough. All right. We're having too much fun. But seriously, that's the best way to illustrate it. You'd have to make it into a horror movie. You'd have to make it into an allegory. You'd have to make it into a comedy because it just doesn't track. It's just not real. You know, you watch Idiocracy back. They're nice people. They're happy. They're not hurting anybody. We're already worse than them. We're dumber than them because we think that we are smart. We think that we're intelligent. There's nothing intelligent about supporting a regime, ultimately the American Empire, that does this stuff. We have to return to the Republic. Look at that. Yeah. We gonna have ourselves here a trial. We gonna do a war on Iran. But we're not developing a nuclear weapon. And we're fighting Israel. Israel's fighting us. It's just a war. It's none of your business. We gonna kill you. Oh, that's funny. And the point there that's made, we're not even gonna have that problem. We're like, apparently, like an Idiocracy, of course, like the dumb people have all the kids. We're not going to have people. We're facing imminent population collapse, and all that will really be started and triggered by the global famine as a result of this World War III. So it's not a matter of domestic policy. It's a matter of the world and the existence of the world and the reality of nuclear weapons, human osmotic pressure, a la mass migration. That's another term for it that you might be more familiar with. Collapse of government, regional war, and, you know, the battle of multipolarity. And there's going to be a new framework of law that comes out of all of this. There's going to be a new Geneva Convention. There's going to be a new international framework, UN treaties, you name it. There's going to be a new body, a new everything, because that's the reality that the United States created for itself. We created it when Joe Biden tore up SWIFT and said the Russians couldn't use it and froze, I think, like $300 billion in their assets. That pushed BRICS to develop SIPs so they could have an alternative against that. We did that by fighting Iran and making them take ownership of the Strait of Hormuz. We are setting ourselves up for a true global conflict. And if we acknowledge it, maybe there's a hope or a chance in hell that we can stop it. And I really enjoy getting to break all this down for you. You can follow me at Rex Jones News with a Z on Twitter. I do a morning show. I do an evening show. You can look at my link tree right there, New American Journal, host of Gray Area Talks with Truism Tim. I am live 8 a.m. to 11 a.m. every single morning. And Thursday and Sunday, I'm live 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. You want to be there, Central Standard Time, New American Journal, Gray Area, Rex Jones News. And I'm a host on the big network. So I'm a professional. Pretty cool. See you tomorrow.
My fellow patriots, the first thing the globalists and the leftists do when they want to silence you is go after your merchant accounts, go after your business payment systems. It's that simple. They try to cut off your ability to even receive money or make payments. If you are a conservative business owner, Google is watching you, Meta, Facebook is watching you, Amazon, all of the major big tech is watching you. If you think for one second that they are not orchestrating and coordinating their efforts behind the scenes to take you offline and out of business and render you harmless to the system and the machine, you are wrong. The question is not if, it's when Stripe, Shopify, PayPal, Square, they're all part of the same big tech machine. Because once there's only one central system, they can bring in the universal credit score. The head of BlackRock, Larry Fink's been very clear. Once they have the system in place and they're close, they are going to shut down everybody that isn't part of their system, even people that aren't political. This is about total control. They've just got to get to the patriots that are opposing them to get to you. And FirstUnitedPayments.com stands directly in the tyrant's way. My fellow Americans, this is your call to action. Call or email First United Payments now and ask them how you can protect your business against the globalist predatory attacks and shutdowns today. And talk to a real human here in the good old U.S. of A. by calling toll-free 877-899-1313. You've got to be able to have your own business. You've got to be able to operate without these globalist sharks, this mafia shutting you down. And First United Payments is the tip of the spear. Proven warriors, ladies and gentlemen, in this fight. Online merchants, this is the place for you. Now visit FirstUnitedPayments.com right now.
days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.